Here we go.
Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, Randy. How's it going over there?
Yeah, it's going in Chico Town. It's happening here on the left coast, as we're called. It's only 102 today, so we're in a cooling trend.
That's funny.
I talked to a friend of mine who's in Nashville, and he didn't realize Northern California gets hot. You know, you think of Southern California, the beaches, the desert, Death Valley. You don't think of Northern California as hot, but literally north of Sacramento, actually Sacramento and then north, you know, you've got a big old North Valley that's in the summer. It's 100, 105 most of the summer.
Yeah, it's surprising.
So.
Almost like Vegas, but not as hot, huh, at times.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And too hot, as you say, for your pool, which I would disagree. I would like the hot pool, but I know you always say that that's just too hot for you guys over there.
Just gets to be a point where you're like, you know what? Yeah, I'd just rather stay in the air conditioning and watch the pool, you know.
Today's a really wonderful, interesting show that we have on, and I'll go let you go for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, second half, our first half, we always talk real estate, and we've got a great guest we'll talk about here in just a moment and introduce. And our second half, we typically aim to motivate and inspire and really just share literally with people who are change agents. You know, they're inspirational and motivational. We've had, boy, in 2 years, we've had an amazing parade of stories and guests. And Kaylin Benham is with an organization called One Revealed, and she's going to be talking to us about, about personal healing, about personal growth, and kind of tying in motherhood. She's a mother again, and some things that have kind of been stirred up in her life personally as regards motherhood. And so, ladies, second half, we're going to be digging into some of that. And the first half, of course, we always aim again to talk real estate and share with you just really, really valuable information. And again, RealtyUniversal.com is the website for any and all of what we talk about. But we've got Brian Sachs on with us, a nationally known mortgage and real estate expert. Since 1985, he's closed over 5,325 mortgage transactions, totaling over $1 billion with a B dollars in production. And my goodness, just a lot on his resumes, TV host and author of the best-selling book, Yes, You Can Get a Mortgage Even If You've Had a Bankruptcy or Other Credit Challenge, and on and on and on. Brian is with us right now. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to see you. I remember you being in the business since, what, 85, right? Same time I've been in it.
Absolutely.
Ever.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, Brian. It's really good to hear your voice.
Great to connect. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Wonderful. And I just can't wait. Today we're going to be going over why now is really still a good time to buy and also get into this industry for people that are thinking about getting into the real estate industry. And most importantly, why it's a great time to buy, and you're such an expert, and you're digging in and you're doing it, constantly helping many of these people that literally went through this mortgage crisis, had to go through short sales. I noticed down here you've got 5.3 million Americans have had a short sale or foreclosure since about 2008, 2009 at least, right? And now may be eligible for a mortgage, so I'll let you talk about that a little bit.
Well, and I appreciate that. You know, it's a great time to buy because of a number of things that have come together in the marketplace. So you have rents going up, so folks who are renting are going to be paying more for rent. You have the still the very attractive interest rates. I mean, you know, anytime you're able to quote someone, Natalie, a rate with a 3 in front of it, it's always a great day.
The really high rates that when we saw 10, we thought it was good?
Yeah, I mean, I remember a big refinance boom. You know, going back to 85 when I got into the business, I mean, rates were 18, and I remember an office party when rates came down to 12. So, you know, to see rates at, with anything with a 3 in front of it or even a 4 is just magnificent, you know. So affordability is really, really strong. Folks who would buy now in this market, you really are, you know, at a time frame when things are starting to get better, but home prices still aren't crazy. They're just starting to come out of it, so to speak. So you're getting in with a very attractive price. You're getting in with very attractive rates. So really, I think this is the optimal time to buy, especially given the fact that rents are going up. But, you know, one of the things that I see that I sort of have made my focal point in my practice are all the people who suffered during the meltdown,
mm-hmm.
who are now eligible to buy a home. So, you know, the meltdown 2008, 2009, 2010, many folks had to sell their property via a short sale. They may have had a foreclosure. Some may have even had a bankruptcy or other credit challenge. But you know what? If that is behind them and they have reestablished themselves, they are eligible, but not just eligible for a mortgage. They're eligible for a mortgage with these same terms, with as little as maybe 3.5% down, and with a fixed rate that has a 3 or 4 in front of it. So
that's amazing. You know, I just think back to even the early 90s where it was 8.5%, 9.5%. So now somebody that then could buy a $200,000 could probably buy a $400,000 house, right? You know, when you look at the ratios, right? And
that is absolutely correct. And you know what's really nice that's happening in the mortgage marketplace right now is that the guidelines became super tight after the real estate sort of you know, issues that occurred in 2008, 2009, and gradually now things are starting to loosen up again. They're starting to come back to common sense. They're starting to come back to, you know, really help the folks that, whether they're a first-time home buyer or it's their second or third time around. You know, the misconception in the marketplace is that the guidelines are super, super tight. And in reality, that's really not the case. There are still common sense loans being done each and every day.
Brian, can you give us an example? You mentioned like a Kaplan's, but I mean, we're not going to say, you know, names or whatever, but an example of, because I had heard, me being in the industry, I'm still very active in the industry, although I work on our membership association quite a lot, and I have to keep abreast of what's going on in a lot of states, but because we have a brokerage in Hawaii and Maryland, I really stay up to date, very up to date to these two states as well. There's another program that came out recently that even within, I believe it's FHA, even within a year of a short sale, it used to be the rule was 2 years to 4 years, depending on if it was government or, if it was like FHA conventional or a conventional loan, conventionals were typically longer, something about a year that they could actually get in. Tell us a little bit about like what, how long someone has to wait, and then I think you had an example also of some people that
sure. Well, absolutely. We were just involved in a transaction that, you know, was a – and I'll tell you the scenario. These folks had a home they sold in the Baltimore area, which is where I'm based, and they bought a home. They tried to sell the home. Unfortunately, they were upside down. Now, what happened when they were upside down is they got they sought legal advice, and the opinion of the person who gave them this legal advice, an attorney, was in order to get the mortgage company's attention, stop paying the mortgage. Well, I'm not sure if that was good advice or bad advice, but as it turns out, what they did was they stopped paying the mortgage, and they actually moved out of the house and rented an apartment. The mortgage company started foreclosure proceedings, which was a pre-foreclosure. They wound up, selling the property and the bank accepting less money, which is what's known as a short sale. So the bank accepted less than what was owed on the property. Now, that happened 3 years ago, and these folks just got into a home. They put 20% down. They got into a home with, I think they've got an interest rate of, and somewhere in the low fours, fixed 30-year mortgage with no points. So that's that scenario on a conventional loan. I mean, the conventional is anywhere from 4 to 7 years after a foreclosure, pre-foreclosure. But the FHA program, it's very interesting. The FHA came out with a program, and this program has a deadline on it. It's available through December 2016. It's available now through December 2016, and it's called the FHA Back to Work Program. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. That's what I was thinking. Go ahead.
Yes. And so with an FHA, the down payment is generally only 3.5%. Again, very attractive fixed rates. But what this program allows for, if there was a substantial reduction in household income, meaning you were laid off, you were fired, or in some cases folks stayed on their job but took a real pay cut, they will, and if that resulted in a pre-foreclosure, a short sale, or even a foreclosure, FHA will allow these folks to now come back into the marketplace, get an FHA fixed rate loan, and be eligible just as if they were a prime candidate for a mortgage. So this will not be held against them. What they want to see is that the person has gone through home ownership counseling, that they've reestablished good credit for at least 12 months, and that they have fully recovered from that, what they are calling an economic event.
Now,
and
that's
so,
even as little as after 1 year, isn't it? After 1 year, if
exactly.
certain factors have happened?
And,
okay.
Correct. And what they want to see is that if it was an economic event related to income, they want to see that economic event lasted at least 6 months and resulted in at least a 20% or more reduction in the borrower's household income, which for someone who got laid off, we have lots of folks who had extended layoffs, extended terms of unemployment. But now as the economy is recovering, they're back on their feet. And yes, you're right, Natalie, in as little as 12 months after that event.
Now, is that for
eligible.
Short sale and foreclosure or just short sales?
It's a short sale and a foreclosure.
Okay, perfect.
And it gets even more interesting, if I may. So if you had a bankruptcy and the bankruptcy was due to an extenuating circumstance, when people have a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, the big misconception is that you can't buy a home for 7 years, right? That's what most people think. In reality, if you had a Chapter 7 bankruptcy and it was due to an extenuating circumstance, something totally beyond your control, could have been an illness, a layoff, reduction in income, typically the rule is 2 years, but you may be able to buy a home in as little as 12 months from your discharge date. Correct.
Wow, fantastic. Fantastic.
So lots of misconceptions. I mean, I'll tell you this, Chapter 13 bankruptcy, you may be eligible for a mortgage while you're in the Chapter 13.
That's amazing to me. That is amazing. Now, Brian, you've been around, it seems like, forever, and you're so knowledgeable.
Yes.
And can you give our listeners all your contact information, too, their phone numbers, website, where you'd like people to contact you?
Okay. Absolutely. So I actually have set up a site that is dedicated to boomerang buyers called theboomerangbuyer.com. And my email is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at theboomerangbuyer.com. And all of my contact information is up there as well.
So it's theboomerangbuyer.com.
Correct.
Boomerangbuyer.com. Now, with what can you strictly do Maryland, or can people from other states actually put mortgages through you?
Sure, and that's a great question. I appreciate you asking it. I am licensed. Our company is licensed across the country.
Okay.
I'm licensed in Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, D.C., pretty much the mid-Atlantic states. But certainly I'm happy to help anyone across the country, and we could certainly, refer you to one of our offices in the state they may be located in.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. And I think when in the book you wrote, yes, you can get a mortgage even if you've had a bankruptcy or other credit challenges. Can they buy that on Amazon or go to your website and buy it?
Yes, absolutely. It's available on Amazon, and our 2.0 version is about to come out very soon. So that would cover the FHA back to work and some of the updated guidelines as well.
Well, I love it. I love it. You know, because Randy and I, we've been on so many shows, Randy, haven't we? And so many, what you said before is so true, that so many people just assume they went through this, they can't do anything else, and they don't even try, you know. So they're assuming they have to rent for years from now, when actually they can get in and dig in and take advantage of this market right now. Part of what we were going to discuss a little bit also is that if you're thinking about getting into the real estate industry, you know, many people lost jobs, many, 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 and many more are still losing jobs since this 2008 crisis. And because of technology and the internet and computers, you're finding, I see it out there, where more and more people are working from home. They're able to work from home. They're taking jobs in completely different fields that they trained in because they don't have a choice, right? And we see a lot of people out there thinking, hey, maybe I want to get into the real estate or mortgage industry. And tell us, do you think, because so many, there is a huge pipeline of buyers out there, there's still quite a lot of homes to sell. And I've noticed from having our pulse on different parts of the country, it just really depends on where you are. Many places are having seller markets where there's a shortage of inventory. Other places are just coming back up, you know, coming through it. But I agree with what you said, too, a little while ago, that the prices haven't gone through the roof yet or either anything. You know, they haven't really gotten so high that it's still a good time to buy, except for certain, I mean, some oceanfront properties are different. But for the majority, it hasn't been. So what do you think, if you were somebody new, and you've been in since 85, so you're totally an expert, and we're thinking, hey, is this a good career move for me to get into real estate or get into the mortgage industry? What advice would you have?
It's funny because I just gave someone this advice outside who asked me. Just outside as I was walking in the building, one of the other folks in our building. You and I have been around, Natalie, and we've seen ups and downs and ins and outs and, you know, all sorts of markets. The reality is there really hasn't been a better time to get into the market. I mean, things have been really tough over the last number of years, and we're just starting to come out of it. And as such, it's a great time to get into the industry, learn the industry, because I believe the next 3 to 5 years in this industry are going to be an absolute bonanza. There is so much pent-up demand, and you reference folks who've been unemployed or underemployed and so forth. As the economy starts to rebound, and we're starting to see that. We're starting to see it on Wall Street. We're starting to see it in lots of the data that comes out financially. Now is the best time to get in, get a foothold, start building your networks, start building and understanding the industry, because in the next number of months, you know, 24, 36 months, I really believe that there's going to be explosive growth, both in terms of new construction, in terms of lending, and in terms of resales. So great opportune time to jump in, and especially if you are, you know, many folks are unemployed and their jobs aren't coming back. They
exactly.
have to find a new industry. And what a great industry. I mean, I've been in it for 30 years. And, you know, I'll tell you something ironic that you might not know about me, Natalie. The subject I hated most in school was math.
I was sort of like
a math dunce, you know.
And so, you know, numbers.
I pick a career where I deal with numbers all day. And you know, but I love it because it involves really helping people achieve their dreams financially and emotionally. And it's much more than just numbers. And much more
exactly.
than just earning a commission. You really feel good when you help someone, especially those that have had a challenge in their past and really are looking to rebuild themselves. So you know, I hate to give a long-winded answer, but...
No, it's a wonderful answer. It makes total sense. And but, you know, that Randy, well, Randy, I'm bringing Randy, because Randy's heard these shows for so long with us, right, Randy, that I've always said, oh, my gosh, if it was just about selling houses, I would have gotten out a long time ago, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's really, you're dealing with people's lives and emotions and learning how to do it and make it happen and affecting change in many ways. So I think, and nowadays... Some people that, because of the flexibility, you know, I do Maryland deals when I'm in Hawaii. I do Hawaii deals when I'm in Maryland. It doesn't matter where I am, you know, because I've been in so long that as long as I have the phone and an internet, you know, I can still be involved, right? And
it's,
so
it's beautiful.
It's a flex time. You know, when you're raising children and they're small, you're able to go to the games and PTA, and it's just it really is. And on the other end, it's a very stressful business. I mean, so it's a matter of getting good training and being able to find out how to incorporate your life with it. And, yeah, I love your answer because I do think things are going to, you know, there's a lot of it's sales and getting into businesses. It's all about numbers and people, and I think there's a lot of choices out there. That brings me to another question that I have for you, Brian, and you're a great expert to answer. What is your opinion? We did a show on this a couple months ago almost. Time's flying by here. When Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, President Obama said a couple years ago that he would like to see that go away within the next 5 years, and I think he said it about 2 years ago, and privatize the lending industry more. I know now they've been passing different laws. They're making changes. We're seeing a lot of changes happening with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. What's your opinion if they do away with it? Because I hope they don't completely do away with it because I think it hurts the little guys. But maybe there's parts of it that I'm just not seeing. So I would love to get your opinion on that.
I 100% agree with you. I think it would be a tragedy to get rid of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Okay.
I think it would hurt. I think it would hurt the liquidity of the marketplace. You know, it's kind of interesting. I'm not going to take a political stance here, but
Randy and I end up doing that sometimes.
Interesting.
Go ahead.
We can't get fired. They don't shut you down. So go for it. No, I'm just kidding.
That's
I'm kidding.
Okay. But, you know, look, it's very interesting the choices that, you know, our government is choosing to get involved in versus the things they're trying to get away from.
Right.
you know, so to me, that's a little shocking. But, look, there have been abuses. There have been bad practices. There's been poor oversight. We're out of the meltdown now. You know, we're starting to rebuild and things are back on track. To take away the liquidity of the market by privatizing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you know, in most cases, I agree with the government staying out of it. This is the
exactly.
one rare exception where I think the government should be involved in it, you know, should
exactly.
be helping VA and FHA and staying involved in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And I'm totally fine bringing in more privatization of it, but not relinquishing the government involvement.
I'm so glad you said, because I was like going, what am I not seeing? You know, it was driving me nuts going, wait a minute, is this like, it's like we're one person saying it's black, the other one's saying it's green, and we're both, you know, I'm going, what's wrong with this? You know, because I totally
right.
think it's going to be a big mess if they do just do away with it, because that's it kind of, it puts the checks and balances in, it keeps it, you know, it helps us a lot. And we did have a mess in 2008, but when you look historically how long Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's been around, from what, the 1938 on the one and the 60s and the other, I think it's
right.
historically been a phenomenally proven program that works well. And, yeah, I pray they don't get rid of it totally either.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So,
I totally agree.
Yeah,
I think it'll
be... It's nice when... it's like, you know, sometimes you look at it and go, what are they thinking? Why are they doing this? This is just not
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
Look, if we can own GM, we can certainly keep Fannie Mae in business.
Exactly. Ditto, definitely. Gosh, we're almost over the first half of the show. Time flies so fast, and we have about 5-6 minutes left.
Yeah,
Randy, do you have
know.
Any questions? Because Randy always comes up with great questions on the other side, since he's been in radio
Super.
For 36 plus years, and we've been in the real estate side. What do you think, Randy?
Well, first of all, I'm on Boomerang Buyer, theboomerangbuyer.com right now. And I can see why you do TV, dude. Good-looking guy, man.
That's why I do radio.
Randy's straight. Randy has a wife. He's not saying that out of. He's just being nice.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Thank you, though, Randy.
You got the TV host thing going on, and you've done a lot of that. I love the fact that you've done, shows where you answer questions on the air, and it looks like for 9 years on the NBC affiliate. Are you still doing TV?
I'm not doing TV as much, but, it's on my agenda for this year, so maybe in the second half of the year.
Yeah. Well, I love that, in this economy, but I love even the kind of the branding you're doing with the Boomerang Buyer deal. I mean, because people need to know that there's hope and that they can start over and that there are possibilities. And a lot of what Natalie talks about, in the first half of our show each week is that very fact that, don't think you're stuck. Don't think you can't do something. Research it, find an expert like yourself and or Natalie and explore the possibilities. But it's amazing. And there's so many things so many areas and ways we could go with this today, and we're already out of time. We knew it would fly by. But
happy to come back. Anytime I could be of value to you and your listeners, be more than happy to come back. I love what you're doing with the show. I think it's great.
Thank you. It's
awesome.
This is it's just really enlightening. I didn't realize I didn't realize some of these other. Oh, on the other programs, I do have a couple quick two questions. We're going to go off real quick.
Sure.
If somebody's a veteran and they're doing in VA and they've had the short sale, okay,
mm-hmm.
Or foreclosure, can they 1 year is okay, or do they still have to go two?
No,
would you recommend that they go FHA?
I'm probably going to recommend they go FHA. The difference would be a veteran wouldn't have to put any money down, but they may have to wait 2 years or more.
Okay.
And it's real important to mention, it's not 2 years. The 2 years and all of these various dates we're talking about is actually when the foreclosure, when the title is signed over. In other words, when the foreclosure goes off the books.
Okay, so when it's totally complete, done. Yeah.
Right. Right, and that's important because some folks, they have a short sale, but it doesn't get booked till a couple months later, or they have a foreclosure, and the title doesn't transfer for a number of months after. It's from that date of the title transfer.
Okay, that's fantastic. Good to know. Mm-hmm. So for questions, everybody can go also to boomerangbuyers.com.
It's theboomerangbuyer.com.
Theboomerangbuyers.com.
Yeah.
Oh,
the boomerang buyer.
I did that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
TheBoomerangBuyer.com. We want to make sure we have that right.
Yeah, and his email is brian@theboomerangbuyer.com as well. And there's
correct.
A phone number there as well and all kinds of contact info. And, man, been awesome, buddy. Thank you so much. And we'd love to have you back. And, and we'll open up the lines and really let some folks call in with some questions and stuff. So.
Super.
I
truly appreciate you both having me.
Thank you, Brian. It's been wonderful.
All right. Have
thanks,
a wonderful
Brian.
Day.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. Okay. Wow. Good stuff.
Fantastic. Lots of information. I hope a lot of people are going to get into that and realize they can buy a home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, I'm looking at the Boomerang Buyers website, and there's just... Yeah, to give people hope is the deal, and I know you and I talk about it, and my story, and we've been through a couple of loan modifications, and we've hung on, fought for our house and hung on to it, and a lot of people just walking away, but a lot of hopelessness, I love what he's doing, and it really does jive with what we try and do in this first half of the show, which is give people hope, give them options, alternatives.
Yeah, because so many people, when they go through something like that, they just put their head in the sand and think that this is it, I can't do anything. And a lot of people I've noticed from many clients and customers over the years, they feel guilty. They think they messed up. What did they do wrong? And then they get stuck, as we talk about, you know. So this is just wonderful, and hopefully we can get enough people to fight the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac thing so that we can still have the fantastic programs like FHA, where people can get in with less money down, where the guidelines are going to be a less strict on ratios. You know, of course, they still want to make sure people are really going to pay the money back. But so loved it. We'll have to have Brian back.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, very, very informational. Very educational, I should say, and it did spur some other questions, but I know we were running out of time. Let's take a break. On the other side, Kaylin Benham joins us, onerevealed.com, her website, and we're going to talk, ladies, about motherhood. And
fatherhood probably fits in too, huh?
Oh, it might tie in. So we'll be
we're
right back.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
And welcome back, Realty Universal Radio, on the air everywhere. And again, realtyuniversal.com, the website. Thanks again to Brian Sachs, who is with us, national mortgage expert, and again, his website is theboomerangbuyer.com, and he is in, is he in Baltimore, Natalie?
Yes, he's in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland.
But can do business elsewhere and stuff, so yeah, contact him through that boomerangbuyer.com website. And second half of the show, as always, our goal is to inspire, to mobilize, to motivate you to kind of be the change, literally, in the world that you seek. Who wrote that? Somebody. Was that Gandhi? I'm trying to remember.
Gandhi.
Thank you, Kaylin. I knew it. I always quote it like somehow that's, you know, I made that up or something, and I have to come clean there. But although John Maxwell says the first time he ever quotes somebody, he gives them credit. The second time he says, it's been said. And the third time, he just quotes it like he made it up. So,
that's too funny.
I don't know where that works. But Kaylin Benham, onerevealed.com, we've had her on before. I've had her on several shows, and she's amazing. And, again, this is one of those deals where I know sometimes you get into, you look at a half-hour segment and go, how are we going to fill a half an hour? But this is going to be one of those things you're going to look at the clock and go, wow, we need another half hour, because Kaylin, I just love people that you can get like real with and honest with, authentic with and deep with quickly. And Kaylin is, and Scott, her husband, are those kind of folks. And I recently had the privilege of talking to her brother, Sean. And again, same kind of thing, man, just loved it. So Kaylin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, guys. I'm excited to be here. It's been a while.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your new baby.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, and that's really kind of what we want to talk a little bit about with at the beginning. Anyway, we may revisit a little bit in length or in more detail, kind of one revealed. But we kind of want to look at motherhood and some of what you've experienced in the last few months through the lens, really, of One Revealed and, you know, personal healing, if you will. And I imagine there's some stuff and some revelation that you've come up with. So first, let's talk about One Revealed again for folks who may be not familiar with it. OneRevealed.com, the website. Talk about what you guys are doing there.
Sure. Well, we are just passionate about revealing our stories and revealing ourselves because we really believe that that's really the way that the Lord is revealed through us, is when we share our stories, we share our hurts, we share our successes, and through that lens, we're able to experience God more closely and intimately ourselves, and then also just kind of introduce him in that way to others. And others are attracted, you know, when you're vulnerable and sharing those things. And God really uses that. So so we kind of run people through a process, really finding their voice. So that is literal, but it's also not literal, and it can seem foggy. But really it's that identity. It's who are you? What do you stand for? What do you, you know, what's been kind of loaded on top of that? A lot of times we have to do some clearing away and unloading. So it's find your voice, and then it's be known. So that's kind of the part where people start breaking out. So using their voice that they've found now to be known as that voice. So be known as really who you are and your identity and who Christ has made you to be. And then that moves into that third step, which is really just inspiring others. And that's usually when you're so on fire from figuring out who you are, you're known, so people are recognizing, wow, that person's got something. I want that. And really then it moves on to just inspiring others. And that in itself, you know, is an unstoppable force once Christ is in the mix. So that's really something that we walk a lot of people through at every, you know, at a lot of different stages of life and in a lot of different contexts, just really working with people through those three avenues right there. So we've been doing great. It's been awesome, the work you've gotten to do. I just feel, you know, I just feel blessed that I get to do it and that God gave me these gifts, and I just love using them. So it's been great.
Mm. Wow, that was a lot right there. That was a whole lot of stuff that I made notes on several things, and we may get back to some things along those lines. But man, you're so correct that, you know, we in finding our voice, and often, especially, you know, those of us who may have had traumatic and or dysfunctional, you know, kind of upbringings, and often when we step out and attempt to discover our voice, we feel uncomfortable and run for cover, you know, and or self-sabotage and all of that stuff. But like you say, once you can get into a process with people like you guys who've been through it, and then, you know, you see what's possible at the end, you know, that and I love that word you used, unstoppable, once you begin to discover, you know, your voice and discover who you are and, you know, why you were here, brought here, and your mission. And it's clear, you know, the clarity thing. I know we talk about the clarity, the payoff, you know, but it's so true. Once you get clear, and I think the challenge is that, right? Folks don't know, maybe what they don't know, but they don't, and once they are aware that they're not clear, then they try and figure out how to do it, and that's that process you're talking about, right?
Kaylin, how did you know? Because so many people think they know and then get off track and then start to know and not know, you know, when you hear that voice. You know, when you hear the voice, you're like, God, please tell me. It says, right, how do I serve? Tell me, please lead me and guide me. And then you're doing the day-to-day and you get pulled here and there. So how did you get that crystal clear you mentioned where you finally, you just know you know and you're on fire?
You know, that was a long process for me. And it tends to be the hardest part of the process is, you know, just that beginning, because you're so used to whatever way you've been living up until that point. And I remember very clearly, it was probably about 4 years ago now. I mean, I've always been a seeker. I've always been very intuitive and, you know, kind of always had this vision of something more. But I didn't know what really that was. I tried to fit, like, men into that when I was younger. I tried to fit jobs into that then after, you know, in my 20s. And really, you know, obviously I came to this place that realized, oh, wow, okay, that's only God. Is that something more? And he will bring me to all those other places. But about 5 years ago or 4 years ago, I clearly remember deciding between two jobs I was going to take and asking somebody, you know, very quizzically, like, oh, I just want to do what God's will is for me. You know, what is that? And her response at the time really was frustrating to me because I didn't get it. But her response is, God's will is doing whichever one, making a decision and doing whichever one with his love flowing through you. And that to me was like, in the moment I was like, well, I know, but which one should I do?
Right.
Right. So which one am I supposed to do? But it really was like this something that stuck with me that really if I just tuned in and made a decision, a lot of times that's the hardest part. People leave a lot of gray and a lot of backup plans and a lot of, you know, what have you. And so that voice that you hear, it doesn't have space to really come to fruition or turn or like get turned up louder, because you're still keeping the clutter around. So I just started making decisions, and sometimes they were, well, I would always say they were always the right decisions is how I look at it now, because I either learned something or, you know, so I made a mistake and I would say before, oh, I made a bad decision, when really God has revealed to me, no, that wasn't a bad decision because you learned this. So that was the right decision for that time, and now it's no longer the right decision for you. And that to me was a really big learning, just that mind shift of a mistake versus this isn't right anymore.
Wow.
And I just
That's
kept
good.
Tuning into that. So it kept getting louder and louder.
That's great. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I had somebody once told me there's no such thing as a mistake, just more information, which kind of goes along those lines, is that you now, once you've, and this is, and I'm just going to say it, I've sadly succumbed to this, is that once you've established that something is not, would be a mistake again, I've actually gone and done it again. Right? Even though you knew that you knew, you know? And you're like, no!
Right.
That's frustrating, isn't it?
It is frustrating, but that happens, and there needs to be space for that also.
Okay, cool.
So a lot of times, you know, people just get on themselves, and then they start shaming themselves, and that almost reinforces that voice in them, which is the enemy, saying, you can't do this. You're not strong enough to do this, or... you know, this isn't really what God wants. He's got something over here for you, and it's distracting is what it is. It's just taking your eye off of the main thing. And, you know, the Lord loves us through our mistakes, and he knows they're coming. He knows when we do them, and he loves us through them. So we get into trouble when we don't love ourselves through them also. So... But, yeah, we all make them. We all go back.
Good. That's so good. Mm-hmm. So let's take some of that context and talk to us about motherhood. And, you know, you mentioned that the Lord's been teaching you some things that are kind of one revealed related as regards motherhood.
Mm.
Talk to us about that a little bit, what you've been hearing, learning.
Yeah, it has been... really interesting. I have three children now, which I never thought was possible. after my first one, I know we've talked about this before, but I was depressed. I mean, I had postpartum depression for about a year after my first was born. And it was really like an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was before I had kids. And I thought I did, but I didn't. And so once then I became a mom and I started looking at other moms to figure out, well, okay, what do I do? Okay, they're going to mom's groups. I'll try to go to a mom's group. You know, okay, they're like cutting coupons and making like menus. I'll try to do that. And none of it fit. None of it fit for me. And so then I like believe the lie. Well, you know, oh, maybe you just, you know, maybe you shouldn't be the mom. You know, maybe this is it for you. And this one child and, you know, what have you. And there were a lot of just experiences that I struggled with my own family, not understanding my depression and things like that I just really struggled with. So that's kind of a very brief version of the backstory of my just having one child. You know, fast forward to so much learning and so much just love that the Lord has shown me through my children. So it started with Jackson, who's my oldest, just starting to really learn from him. You know, I went through the motion so much, and as a depressed mom, all I wanted to be doing was anything other than being with my child. And I knew that that wasn't how I wanted to feel, but that's just kind of how I felt. And I remember this one day, we were running around in our house, running in circles, and I thought, and my phone was, the battery on my phone was dead, so I had, like, no option for distraction. And to me at the moment, that was like the end of it. But I decided, okay, well, I'll play a game with him. And we were chasing each other, and he just thought it was awesome if I reverse direction, you know, and then I'd be chasing him. And we're going around, and every time we go through the kitchen, I'm like looking at the clock, like, oh, my gosh, we've been doing this for 5 minutes. How much longer are we going to do this? And just then, I turn back, and I look at him. And his eyes, I mean, it was as if Jesus was just looking at me through his eyes. And it was like, I just got it. All of a sudden, I realized, wow, like, he has no idea of anything outside of this moment. He doesn't understand depression. He doesn't understand anger. He's just being with his mom, and he's so happy. And I just thought, okay, I can do this. I can be here with him. And I just really allowed him to teach me and the Lord to use him to really teach me how to be really intimate with Christ and intimate with my children. But that was hard for me. So bringing it into like the one revealed process, I mean, that was me finding my voice. You know, that's me like, not figuring it out, not knowing, and just feeling so frustrated because I knew I could, but I didn't know how. So, I mean, that's kind of the approach since that time that I've taken to motherhood is really that it's because of Jackson and all he taught me that I was able to say, yes, let's have another child. And then it was because of the two that I said, okay, yes, because after each one I was like, I am not doing this again, I'm done. But then the Lord just showed me with each child, they're so different, and the different things I learn and the different joys that I get to experience because of their blessing. So it's just been really awesome. I don't know, the Lord just used it so awesomely. And now I have a girl, which, I mean, that's been a whole blessing in itself. I don't want to just keep talking, but I could forever because the Lord's just been teaching me so many different things.
Mm. Wow. Mm. So on the one reveal that you're teaching other women, other mothers, how to explore the options, live in the moment, and what, take it to a different level and trust God?
Yeah, it's really just inviting God into that daily experience. So even early on, I struggled because I wanted to control my children. And I wanted, well, Jackson specifically, because Jackson was almost three by the time my second one came along. So navigating the twos, I wanted to control him. I wanted to, you know, I was like, Scott and I remember we were like trial and error parents with, okay, should we time out? Should we do, you know, should we have a reward system? Should we this? Should we that? All these different things. And over time, and just the Lord's working with me, I'm like, well, really, I'm to teach him. So I can't expect him to learn things through really harsh discipline. So we kind of started this education focus with him and with the kids that say, okay, let's not assume they know something. Even if we say something as simple as, Jackson, you're not listening to me. Okay, well, what does that mean to a kid who's literally thinking, well, no, I hear you. You know, they're thinking, no, I hear you, Mommy. And so, you know, I remember one day I said, Jackson, when Mommy says, listen to me, what do you think I'm saying? And this was, you know, just a year ago, so he was probably four. And he said, you want me to hear you, Mommy. And I said, okay, well, that's really helpful to know, because I want you to hear me, but I also want you to do what I say and to be obedient. And I said, do you understand that? Oh, okay. It was like, all of a sudden it became really simple. And so all of those things are really what the Lord's shown me, just about my own struggle and identity and how I want it to be, but really just that I'm to be Christ to my kids, that I'm to open up avenues to him for my kids. So how would Christ deal with me if I wasn't listening? Well, he would keep tapping me and educate me, right, through experience or what have you. And so that's my job for Jackson and for the kids. And are there consequences? Yes. But they're always understandable and clearly defined. And so that's been awesome, because when you're a parent trying to control your kids, there's so much pressure. But we've released that, and now we're just trying to enjoy them and teach them, so that they can think their way and kind of engage with Christ through their life.
Yeah, it's funny about life when we try to control how much depression and other things come out of it, because we can't control every situation. It's good. I'm on your site, The One Revealed, right now, so it's interesting. I love that you've got a lot of posts and a lot of archive information. So is that how people find you, if they want to find you, onerevealed.com? Is there any other contact information you want
to
give?
Facebook, they can find us on Facebook, and my email. I mean, we respond to all emails personally, so my email is useyourstory@gmail.com, so useyourstory@gmail.com. And, so that's usually how people refer to us and get to us. But we're in the process of kind of revamping all of that and making it a little more personal, because that's really what we've experienced over the past couple years as we've been doing this, is just a really intimate experience that we give people to grow.
Wow. And the whole motherhood, you know, thing that you just shared is how encouraging that's got to be for young women, because, and I think far more young mothers are depressed and not into it and all of the above, right? But you're being honest and vulnerable about it. I'm not even a mom, and I'm like, wow. For you just to say that is so freeing to other women who are struggling, and then for you to go that step farther and talk about how you learned, you know, through through your children, man.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, part of it is just somewhere along the way, we've gotten away from the fact that kids are a blessing. You know, they're meant to bless us as parents. And some, it's society and it's the enemy that tells us that they're actually not a blessing, they're a burden. And so if you start to believe that lie as a parent, all of your parenting comes out of the place that says they're a burden. And that's really dangerous. And I see that in a lot of moms and women
really?
That I work with.
Really?
Oh,
a lot?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm
they
surprised.
They wouldn't say it initially. That's not what they would say to me. But the belief behind their behavior is that.
Mm-hmm.
The lie that we have to untangle, the story we have to rewrite, is that the kids are a blessing, and how do I live out of the fact that my kids are a blessing?
Wow, that's my son's always been a blessing to me. So I think you know, I had a different childhood, so I always wanted to be this great mom with my son and not do things that happened when I was a child. And I kind of swung the pendulum really far, but I guess you can't give too much love. When people approach you, when the moms approach you and they're in this, are you finding a lot of people in the funk and depressed? And do you work through them with like Christian ministry or programs or just talking, or what do you do to get them started in some type of structure?
Yeah, I do a lot of coaching, so you know, individual coaching. They come uncertain, I would say. They don't come and say, I'm depressed, I don't know. They come uncertain, knowing that they don't experience all there is to motherhood. You know, they come feeling like they're going through the motions, like I said, with the play dates, with the couponing, with whatever, but that they're not really sure who they are outside of I'm Johnny's mom or whatever. And so once a woman connects with that, who they are, separate from their kids and separate from their husband and just who Christ has made them to be, everything else around them comes alive. You know, their mothering, their roles come alive. So their mothering comes alive. Their being a wife comes alive. As soon as they start to question, am I really in touch inside with who I am? You know, and so that's usually what they come with, is just kind of a confusion or an uncertainty about who they are. But they don't label it like that. It's just kind of a discontent. Or maybe sometimes if it's strong, it's an anger. You know, they notice that they get really angry, and what is that about? And
That's interesting, because maybe they don't label because they don't know, but once they kind of know, they can start doing something about it. And I imagine that's where you come in to really, really help be the change agent, right? To say, hey,
that's right.
This is normal. This is okay. This is where you can go to. You know, what you can do to work through it. Wow.
That's right. Well. And the life of a mom is you're kind of isolated, you know, whether you're working or not. I mean, I've done both. I've been a non-working mom and I've been a working mom. You're kind of isolated because when you're taking care of the kids, things happen so quickly that you can't really think, oh, why did that bother me? Or what is that triggering? Or, you know, you're kind of in this place where you don't really know, but you look around and everybody else seems to have it figured out. So, okay, it's probably nothing. And then years go by and then they're like, oh, I'm angry or, oh, I'm depressed. Well, they noticed it back then, but everyone seemed to know be comfortable, so they didn't act on it.
Yeah. Wow.
So good. I knew this would fly by, man. It is over, and we are just getting started. I knew this would happen. It happens to it happens with Kaylin often, because we are just getting into some good stuff right here. And now, Kaylin, folks can do you do long distance coaching? So like Skype and phone and stuff.
I do. Yeah,
okay.
We do a lot over Skype and on the phone.
Okay.
We do conference calls for groups and things like that also.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, and then again, onerevealed.com is the website where they can contact you. And again, whether it's the mom thing or you're just somebody you know, maybe you resonated with the finding your voice and some of the overview that she talked about at the beginning. You know, obviously, you know, this is not just for moms, but for folks who want to find their voice and get clarity and begin to move on and be unstoppable and all of that. You know, find that place, your place in this world, as Michael W. Smith would say. So thank you so much again for being with us. My goodness,
oh, thank
it
you,
flew Caitlin. By, and
great.
We'll have to get you back on.
I would love it. It's my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Say hi to Scott.
Will do.
Thanks.
Wow.
I'll agree.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Wow, Caitlin Benham. Woo!
There's
awesome
never enough
stuff.
Time, huh? Never enough time.
Oh, my goodness. We just get
wow.
going, I know. And she's the... Again, onerevealed.com is her website, and check that out. You'll be really glad you did, for sure. And we'll get her
if
back on.
If anybody has any questions about the show, too, they can go to radio@realtyuniversal.com or go to our site, and we'll put you in touch with the right people. And
yeah.
It's awesome. So everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter @RealtyUniversal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.